Today, I have gained a new habit. I can't stand this for very much longer, so we'll pull that down. I have gained a new habit, and I have to say to you, this habit is very clean. It was fresh out of the packet this morning. I don't want in any sense of the word to offer you any dirty habits. Today, I want to offer you clean habits that will do you good. And this simple, incidentally, do you like this?
Yeah.
Is it good? Should I wear this every week?
Very fitting.
Not in a cat's chance am I going to wear this every week. This is going to go back in the cupboard after today. It will come out occasionally. But I want to just talk to you today about habits. And I think it's important that we consider the nature of habits. We are coming out now out of a 2-year pandemic. And people have learned habits during this period of time. Not so long ago, Pauline and I were invited to a dinner with two friends. And they invited two old friends and that they hadn't met for over 10 years and that we'd never met before. And of course, they sit you accordingly, don't they? You know, you don't get to sit where you want to. You've got place settings. And they sat me next to this woman, very nice woman in lots of ways. But I said to her, so I understand you go to church. And she said, well, I go to church, except I haven't done for 2 years. And so I said, so what do you do? She said, well, on a Sunday morning, I get up in my pyjamas and I put the TV on and I watch the service on the TV. And I'm sat there having cups of coffee and sweets all the way through the service. And I tell you what, she said to me, you'll never get me back there because it's too easy watching the TV in your PJs. She said, I really like that. And I suppose that has been eating away at my mind for some time because it was her new habit, you see. Her new habit was to sit there in front of the TV and just watch what was presented to her. And I feel it's very important today that we make a fresh habit about church. You see, Hebrews 10 says this, some people have gotten out of the habit of meeting for worship, but we must not do that. We should keep on encouraging each other, especially since you know that the day of the Lord's coming is getting closer. Now, a couple of things about that. You could say, well, Stephen, you're being stupid saying that to us because we're here. And in a sense, of course, I am thinking that. But the message that we have to get out there to friends, to family, to people that are part of our church community is we must establish a new habit of meeting together. We really, really must. Sometime in the next few weeks, we're going to start house groups. We are going to start putting a bit more out regularly on the internet. And we realise that we do need to provide for people that can't make it to church, but we also recognise that we need to give people a reason to meet together. Do you know what? You are all better for knowing. Now, personally, you know, I thought that Kelvin put on a good show today. When I mean that, I thought he looked good. I thought, I can remember looking that good. You know, you see somebody's face, and in that face, you see the face of Christ. JT did a great job. Ariel did a great job. Sandra did a great job. In fact, you are all doing a great job. I thank God when Gwen comes through the door. You know what? I just thank God for all of you. And what we need to remember is that meeting together should be a habit. And you could say to me, oh, well, I don't do habits. I just move in the spirit. Let me tell you something. If you develop good habits, the spirit will move you. And realistically, we need to understand that we should not be those that are blown about by any spirit, but we need to be those who are committed in love to one another. Remember our Prime course, which is available online. You know, the Prime course, it tells us that love, agape love, is about commitment, sacrifice. It's about faithfulness. And the love that we show should always have those characteristics. And that love should be demonstrated amongst us. The other day, I was asked by somebody, what type of congregation do you have? And I said, well, I said, I don't know. I think we're pretty working class, really. And you should have seen their eyebrows go up. And I thought, how sad that some people are put off going to church because they think they might be associating with working class folk. Good salt of the earth folk, you know what I mean? How sad that that would ever be the case. But that was a thing. But I do think we need to understand that being with each other, getting to know each other in Christ, is really important. Listen, I'm not saying that you should make it your job to know everybody's business, because frankly, nobody wants that. But we should have the sense of hospitality in our hearts that welcomes people into our space. And I'm not necessarily saying within 2 meters. What I am saying is that there is something great to learn about people. I am getting older. Bill and I were having a talk about this earlier. You know, as I think back through my life and through the 19 years of ministry of this church, I think that the most significant thing for me has been people. Now, I'm not saying there haven't been significant moves of God in my life, because there have. I have seen amazing things. I've been there when people have been healed. I've been there when people have been touched. I remember laying hands on people and hearing the bones in their back readjust. And I remember it was a horrible noise. But I tell you, that woman never had a problem again. I can remember times when God has powerfully touched me, when he healed my eyes, so that I went from being acutely myopic, short-sighted, to having normal eyesight, which was absolutely fine until my middle age, and I suffered the issue of arm shortening, and I couldn't quite get the book far enough away. But even that was an encouragement to me, because I remember my optician saying to me as a child, he said to me, look, Stephen, these glass lenses are very thick on you, but don't worry about that, because at least when you're old, you'll never be long-sighted, because you can't have that sort of a change. And of course, it gave me great joy to see him in his old age just before he died, and to let him look into my eyes as he looked at me and said, you're wearing contact lenses. And I said, no, I'm not. And he looked into my eyes and I said, no, I said, what you're just looking at is what I used to talk to you about when I was a teenager, which is that God heals people. And you know what? I have met God in so many ways. He has been with me. He led me to a wonderful relationship with my wife. We're just about to hit our 39th wedding anniversary. I thank God for every year with her. You know what? God has been so good to me. But in all of that, in all of those years, I have kept the habit of meeting together. I have kept the habit of meeting with the Lord's people. And you know, it says at the bottom line here, since you know that the day of the Lord's coming is getting closer. And if for some reason you don't think that, then listen to the news, because it is evident that the day of the Lord is approaching. The second thing is, I want to always maintain the habit of prayer. You know what? Prayer should be a habit. Now, let me explain to you. There are times when, as your pastor, as a godly man, as a man who can demonstrate his knowledge of the Word of God by the number of books in his library, I can tell you this, that some days it's hard to pray. But I can tell you that every day it's fulfilling to have prayed. And I can also tell you that when I pray, sometimes amazing things happen. Now, the old saying that what happens to you, Stephen, is just by coincidence. And I would say, yes, but it's amazing, isn't it, that when I stop praying, that coincidences stop happening. And you know what? Prayer is my way of touching the heart of God. And that's the way that God wants us to be. If you think of Acts chapter 2, where it says, and they continued in prayer, in listening to the apostles' teaching, in the breaking of bread, and in fellowship from house to house. When you read those things, you realize these were habits that were worth making. And I want to encourage you today, always maintain the habit of prayer. You know, you just have to cut out time in your day. You might say to me, but Stephen, you've no idea how hard I work. Well, I think I do, because I've been there, and I live in a house of hardworking people, and I know how hard it is to get through the day sometimes. But I also know how much harder it is to get through the day without prayer. I think it was John Wesley who said he had twice as much to do today and didn't have the time to do it all, so he had to start the day with a double length of prayer time. And you know, that makes a lot of sense to me, because sometimes we've got to put God first. And it may be that early in the morning is not your time for prayer. You might be later in the day. Well, that's fine. But we need to put time aside where, as Sandra said this morning, where we can listen to God as well as pray to God. It's very important that we pray. I don't know exactly what your theology is, but my theology is that we have a God who loves us, who is moved by the prayers of his saints. Our prayers are like incense arriving before him. Incidentally, I did think of getting an incense thing today to swing. You know, I've got my cross and I've got my hood and all of that, and I thought maybe if I came in swinging incense, but then I remembered the fire alarm system in the building and I thought, probably not. Besides which, I know that whenever I've been in a church where they've swung incense, I've gone out having a coughing fit. And it wouldn't be good, would it, for the preacher to go out with a coughing fit. So maintaining prayer that rises to God like incense, that's a very powerful thing. And let me tell you something. It's you that God is waiting to hear from. It's your prayers that make the difference. It really gets to me when people say, well, it's all right, well, I don't have to bother praying because Stephen is praying, the leaders are praying. Do you know what? That's a load of rubbish. God's waiting to hear from you. God needs to hear from his people. And sometimes it's the simplest of prayers that are answered. I was once, before my life as a minister, when I was managing PC World Stores, I remember one evening I was called out to the customer service desk where a man was kicking off, and he was quite obviously very drunk. And he said to me, "You're the manager." I said, "Yes, I am. What can I do for you?" And he he swung for me with all his body weight. And I was carrying a little less weight then. And I was like a feather compared to him. And all I could see was this fist coming for my face. And you know what? I let out the simplest prayer. My entire prayer was one word. Jesus. I said it aloud. Jesus. And this man's this man's fist hit me squarely on the nose. And he was the one who fell on the floor. I was stood up. I never even felt anything. And you could say, oh, Stephen, he was drunk. I tell you, he was heavy and he put all his weight in that. But my prayer was answered and all it was a word. So you don't tell me that you don't have the words to pray. If you've got the word Jesus, that's the password into heaven. Yeah. So keep a habit of prayer. Be glad, good people. Fly to God, it says in Psalm 64. Good-hearted people, make praise your habit. Make praise your habit. You know something? Thanking God, having an attitude of gratitude, opens a lot of doors. And even in life, being grateful. But for God, we need to remember to be grateful. You see, I go home from church and I'm thanking God for the great worship team we have. I thank God. I can remember times when we had nobody. I can remember when we started and we had Libby with one of those keyboards that was a foot long. You know the types? And she just made a few notes. And I mean, we were so blessed. And I can also remember sometimes we would sing and we would all go off on different notes and we would all end up bursting out laughing. So I am really grateful for our worship team. I thank God for them. I am also very grateful for the setup team. You know, there'd be no service if there weren't people here setting up. There'd be no service if there weren't people on the tech team providing us with sound and vision. You'd have no PowerPoint were it not for them. You would have nothing without the tech team. If the tech team aren't here, they're the first thing you notice, believe me. You don't notice them when they're here and everything runs well, but when they're not here, boy, do you notice they're not here. And I am grateful for all these things. But I am grateful for my family. I am grateful for my friends. I am grateful for you. I am grateful for this building in which we meet. I am grateful for this wonderful new office that we started painting this week. I am so grateful for the goodness of God. And I want you to know that being grateful to God, giving him praise for who he is and for what he's done, that is a habit that we should maintain. You might say, Stephen, this is all simple stuff. This is Christianity 101. I've known this for a long time. Well, be reminded of it. And let's remake these things into good habits as we come out of COVID. Confession. 1 John chapter 1. If we make it our habit to confess our sins, in his faithful righteousness, he forgives us for those sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. They told me when I was a kid to keep short accounts with God. That was basically to keep confessing my sin. And you know, that isn't like once on a Saturday morning, going into church, into a cubicle, pulling the curtain across, opening the door, and someone saying to you, my child, what have you to confess? And you saying, well, I think I've done 3 sins this week. It's not about that. It's about confessing our sins to our Father, saying, God, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry, Lord, I've messed up again. And God just comes close to us and we just say, Lord Jesus, will you forgive me? And you know, he forgives us our sin. He deals with it. He puts it in the sea of his forgetfulness. Our sin is no more. Amen. And we need to make it our habit to confess our sin. Yeah. Don't think you've got to such a place where you're so goody-goody that you don't need to confess your sin. I tell you what, I need to confess my sins daily, and so should we all. Now, Scripture. 2 Timothy says, you have known the sacred Scriptures. Scripture is there to instruct us for salvation. It's inspired by God, or God breathed, it says in one translation, which is very literal. God breathes into the Scripture, and it's profitable to us for teaching, for rebuking. Anybody like being rebuked? No, neither do I, but the Bible's really good at doing it, and it does it privately and alone with you when you're reading it, and that's good, because God does not want to embarrass you. He does not want to make a public show of you, but he does want to rebuke you so that you know that you're turning back towards him. It's so important. It's for correcting. It's for training in righteousness. You have known the Scriptures. You know what? We need always to be renewing our habit of knowing the Scriptures. Now, I have been a Christian now since just before I was 9. I am 62. You can do the math. Every year since then, I've read the Scriptures from cover to cover. I have a daily routine of reading the Scriptures in a pattern which will take me through to the next year. You could say to me, do you ever get bored with that, Stephen? Yes, I do. So I keep changing my routine. This year, I'm reading the New Living Bible in a book that's cut into 365 portions. I read a bit of this morning I read a bit of Deuteronomy, a bit of Luke, a psalm, and a couple of verses of Proverbs. That was my portion for the day. I'm doing that through. Last year I read the Message. The year before that I read the New Living again. The year before that I read the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Do you know what? I keep doing differences so that it keeps my own attention. And sometimes when I've read my portion for the day, I ask myself, what have I just read? And some days I realize I can't remember, so I start again. And you might say to me, well, Stephen, I don't have time to do that. Make time for the Scriptures. Make the Scriptures your habit. You know, the Scriptures are good for you. God is not giving us bad gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. He gives us good gifts. The Scripture's good. And I admit that, along with Bill, I would say to you, portions of 1 Chronicles are difficult. But you know what? You get to one section of 1 Chronicles, and it tells you, all of a sudden, in the midst of those names, it tells you about one man and what God did for him. And you think, wow, I'm so glad I made it through to this bit, because this bit is really special. And sometimes we need to remember that when we're reading all those names, and there's not a lot of places in the Bible that's full of names, but when we do read them, we need to remember, God knows my name too. God knows your name. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God has got it written in front of him. And in fact, sometimes I look at my hand and I try to visualize the hand of Jesus, which has got my name tattooed. You know, Jesus had a nail put through his hand. When they tattoo you, they put little needles in. But Jesus has got your name tattooed on his hand. Sometimes when I'm with people, I suddenly have a loss of what their name is. I may be going down the street. This is really evident when I'm in different spaces where I would not normally know that person. I'm walking down the street and someone says, "Hello, Steve, how you doing?" And so I stop to talk to them. And I'm thinking, who on earth are you? And I start to ask them, say things to them that I think might give me a clue. And so I'll say to them, "Have you been going to church?" And they'll say to me, "You know I don't go there, Stephen." And so I'm thinking, right, I haven't seen you at church. And I go through a few questions and I end up, "Oh, yeah, and how's your wife Sarah then?" Yeah, and it all comes back to me. And that's really helpful. I'm exposing my need to you now, that sometimes I know more people know me than I know people, if you know what I mean. Sometimes it's difficult to remember. But it's so important that we remember that when Jesus needs to know your name, all he has to do is look on his hand. All he has to do is look on his hand. That was for my escapology at the end. My escapology, sorry. I was going to, I don't know how this is going to work. I've got it back up again. But you know, it's so important that we realise that Jesus knows our name. So scripture is there for us. The other day, somebody said to me, "What's that scripture you're always on about?" And I thought, oh goodness me, which one's that going to be? And they said, "It was your baptismal promise." And I said, "Oh yes, Isaiah 54 verse 17. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, says the Lord." And this woman said to me, "Yes, that has encouraged me so much this week." And you think, yeah, thank God for his words. And it still encourages me. Do you know what? Over the years, I've had accusations thrown at me. I've had questions thrown at me. I've had awful things said to me. But do you know what? The scriptures have defended me. God has been there for me. His Holy Spirit has been with me. The truth is, people, I am what I am because of the Word of God. The Word of God has been with me. It has sustained me. And sometimes, as Jesus himself said, man does not live by word alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Sometimes it's the only thing that keeps me alive. So, I want you now to pray with me. Father, we come before you, and Lord, some of the habits that we've acquired recently, we just want to take them off and leave them at the foot of the cross. And Father, we want to ask you to help us to reacquire better habits. Help us, Father, to put on the garments of Christ, to put on new habits that will help us, habits that will help us in fellowship, in prayer, in Bible reading and Bible study, in praise, in confession. Lord, we just ask you that in all of these areas you would help us to fix our minds on you and to keep the very best habits going in our lives. Father, we just pray that you would touch any now whose hearts are searching, whose hearts are questioning. We pray for those listening to this on the internet who haven't had the sheer joy of seeing me in my wonderful habit. Lord, we just pray for them that they may too receive from your hand and make good habits. And Lord, we pray for this church that you would restore us to good numbers again. We pray, Lord, that those who are sick will be back with us next week. We pray that for all of us, we might be encouraged to turn up and see what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.